You know, historically, when believers gathered, they did not have personal copies of the Bible. They listened as the scriptures were read. And I want you to know that I believe the Bible was intended to be such that as you simply heard it, it was understandable. Tragically, in our world today, we've become careless with our listening skills, and so we don't listen. And this is no accusation, it's just an invitation. An invitation for us now in this chapel hour to give our undivided attention to the listening to God's Word. I'd like to ask you to imagine something for a moment. Imagine that your persecuted church hovered someplace in secrecy with only one copy of the Bible, and it's your one occasion to hear it read. Your hunger would be insatiable. Or imagine you're in the first century and the multiplication of the copies of the scriptures not yet taken place. And so the manuscript of a letter from Paul or Peter or one of the writers of scripture has been brought to your attention as a congregation, and you listen with insatiable hunger for the Word of God. As these readings take place, my invitation is that you listen rather than turn to the portion of Scripture, and listen with that kind of awareness that the Word of God is indeed living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Listen reverently. Listen with honor to the Scripture. Listen with undivided attention. And our first section of readers is going to focus on an important area of thought and how we can be righteous in the supplication of our lives. We tend to use prayer as a last resort. God wants it to be our first line of defense. We pray when there's nothing else we can do, but God wants us to pray before we do anything at all. These words taken from Oswald Chambers remind us that we too often ignore the power of prayer when it is the lifeblood of the servant of righteousness. We are right the way God sees it when we truly repent of sin in our prayers, when we obediently pray for others, and we pray in faith, when we pray persistently and faithfully, and when we acknowledge in praise that God is sovereign in His control over all things. Note these portions of Scripture that emphasize the servant of righteousness in his supplication.
Luke 19:1-10. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost.
First Timothy 2:1-8. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting.
Luke 18:1-8. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray, and not faint, saying, there was in a certain city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But after a while he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet, because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?
First Samuel 2, verses 1 through 10. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the thrones of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed.
I wish you could hear my little four-year-old grandson sing that as he lifts his voice in telling Jesus about sufferings that we face. We know that all believers will suffer, but how can we handle suffering righteously? We must understand that the trials through which we suffer were allowed by our Father who loves us. We must see his hand at work shaping us through these trials as we allow him to, and we must fervently believe that God will not allow the trial to continue beyond his usefulness in our lives. As we hear portions of Scripture that remind us of God's ability to help us through suffering, never forget we're righteous servants even through suffering.
Job chapter 1, verses 13 through 22. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down on the ground and worshipped and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly.
James 1, 2 through 12. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and complete, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him.
Second Kings chapter 20, verses 1 through 11, and 20 through chapter 21, 2. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again, and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, Take a lump of figs. And they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? And Isaiah said, This sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing he hath spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees, or go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, It is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. And the rest of the acts of Hezekiah, and all his might, and how he made a pool and a conduit, and brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and Manasseh his son reigned in his stead. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel.
As we come to this next section of readers, I think in many ways we cross the bridge of information of God's Word to the exercise of obedience and service to God's Word. As we serve God as righteous servants, we must recognize God's call as He directs us to His work. We must be obedient and faithful in telling others the good news of salvation, regardless of who they are, and look forward to God's victory both now and in the future. Take note of our assignment as servants of righteousness in His service.
First Samuel 3, verses 1 through 10. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass, at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou calledst me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth.
Mark 16, 1 through 15. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told that she had been with him, and they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it unto the residue. Neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and
upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen them after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature.
Luke 8, 8b to 18. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighteth a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have.
Luke 15:11 through 24. And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to the father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger man gathered all together, and took his journey into a far country, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all he had, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. He went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled himself with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him. And he ran and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robes and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry.
First Samuel 14, 6 through 15 and verse 23. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, Come, and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And his armor bearer said unto him, Do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Then said Jonathan, Behold, we will pass over unto these men,
and we will discover ourselves unto them. If they say thus unto us, tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place, and we will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us. And both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they had hid themselves. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us, and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. And that first slaughter, which Jonathan and his armor bearer made, was about 20 men, within, as it were, an half acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might plow. And there was trembling in the host, in the field, and among all the people. The garrison and the spoilers, they also trembled, and the earth quaked. So it was a very great trembling. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed over unto Beth Aven.
Thank you, Ms. Parvin, for leading in this very special chapel time and preparing our hearts to honor the Word of God. Thank you, students, for doing that. I hope you will never, ever take lightly the privilege of reading God's Word to others. We started by encouraging you to just imagine that you might be either a persecuted church without access to the Scriptures, but we're not. So will you go forth with the Scriptures? We suggested that you imagine being a first century church without access to the Bible, but you're not. You have the Bible. Will you go forth with the Word of God, which is indeed quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, knowing that it's the only instrument that has been guaranteed to be blessed by the Spirit of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Use it well. Study it diligently, memorize it with fervency, and unleash its weaponry upon the hearts of people that you engage in. Easy for us to take the Bible for granted, isn't it? It really is. I hope that this chapel reminds you that it is the Bible that matters. And the Bible does stand. I love the hymn. It's my favorite. You know that. But it's not just because it's a lovely, rousing melody. It is. You got to have a good wind capacity to sing it. And some of you don't, so you puff every time you do. But you know what? Its words are rich, and they are truthful. It's inspired. It stands. It lasts. So God help us to give our energies and our attention to something that's going to last. Heaven and earth pass away. My word will never pass away. So your computer game doesn't matter today. Your Twitter doesn't matter today. Your cell phone doesn't matter today. God's Word does. God, help us to fervently give our hearts to it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the precious privilege to have the Bible. Forgive us for taking it so carelessly. Forgive us for being so haphazard about it that we're not concerned whether we spend time reading it. We're careless about whether we carry it to a class or to chapel. We're careless about how we place it in a setting in our rooms or in our lives. Thank you for these reminders from your word today. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to realize it's impossible to be righteous servants without having a hunger and a thirst and a passion for your word. Help us to be diligent witnesses of it today. Give us opportunity as we work at the mall or as we go to the store as we encourage and talk with one another. May the Word of God be readily upon our lips. May we, with Joshua's exhortation of old, remember that this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you should meditate therein day and night, and then we'll have good success, and then that will make our way prosperous. Help us, O God, to be servants of righteousness as we handle and honor your Word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.